It's time to take the quiz.
5 questions, 5 minutes a day, 5 days a week.
Take the quiz every weekday at thequiz.fox and then listen to the quiz podcast to find out how you did.
Play, share, and of course, listen to the quiz at thequiz.fox. Of Avenue Cap.
Hello, folks. Welcome to Kudlow. I'm Larry Kudlow. All right. Really, the top of the news right now, Arizona Supreme Court upholds a near total abortion ban, which could affect the outcome of the presidential race. Joe Concha, Mark Simone on that in just a moment. Meanwhile, Joe Biden plows on with his illegal student loan cancellations. And if that weren't bad enough, what would happen if Trump tax cuts were allowed to expire? We got Steve Moore and Mike Falkender. Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin defends Israel in a very welcome development in today's Senate Armed Services hearing. He's saying what Joe Biden should have been saying all along. Senators Joni Ernst and Rick Scott will be there. They were there, and they will join us later on all of this. And just give me a few thoughts on this. I'm moving away from the abortion question because I want to highlight the news in the Armed Services Committee, okay? Of all the news out there, one item, I don't want to lose this item. Important words of Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin. Austin said at a Senate Armed Services hearing today that there was no evidence Israel has committed genocide against Palestinians during the Hamas war in Gaza. Now, the question was asked by Senator Tom Cotton of Arkansas. And Mr. Austin said, and I'm going to quote, "We don't have any evidence of genocide being committed." Now, according to reports, Cotton repeated the question, and Secretary Austin replied, quote, "We don't have evidence of that to my knowledge." And further, Cotton mentioned that Austin has been accused of, quote, "greenlighting genocide." And Mr. Austin responded by saying this. Do we have sound on this? All right. Listen to this sound, please.
What I would say, Senator Cotton, from the very beginning is that we committed to help assist Israel in defending its territory and its people by providing security assistance. And I would remind everybody that, you know, what happened on October 7th was absolutely horrible. Numbers of Israeli citizens killed, and then a couple of hundred Israeli citizens taken hostage.
American citizens as well. So you deny the accusation that you greenlit genocide?
I absolutely deny.
Okay.
Well, I'll tell you, against the backdrop of recent actions and statements by President Biden and his various minions suggesting that the administration is betraying Israel and walking away from Israel's commitment to destroying Hamas, and all the various attacks on Israel about civilian casualties and deaths and famine, most of which are not true, and when they are true, Israel has apologized, but Hamas uses Palestinian human shields, and they, Hamas, are the ones committing war crimes, not Israel. So Defense Secretary Austin's statement in front of the Senate today was a very welcome development, in my judgment. And Senator Cotton also mentioned that Austin's statement was a lot better than CIA Director William Burns and National Intelligence Director Avril Haines, both of whom dodged the same question at an Intel committee hearing last month. Now, of course, Israel is going after Hamas because they're cutthroat terrorists and murderers. And as Secretary Austin just said, what happened on October 7th was absolutely horrible. But Israel has no intention of destroying Palestinian civilians, though, unfortunately, they are blamed for this by people on the far left who don't know what they're talking about, and it's not true. It has never been true. And then I went back and looked up the legal definition of genocide, and I found it. Section 1091 of Title 18 of the U.S. Code defines genocide as, quote, "violent attacks with specific intent to destroy, in whole or in part, a national, ethnic, racial, or religious group," end quote. Israel has not done this. Lloyd Austin is correct. And Lloyd Austin's defense of Israel is just what Joe Biden should be doing and should have been doing and saying all along. Now, I'm now waiting for Biden to publicly back up his defense secretary. And then we're all waiting for Mr. Biden to let Israel finish off the job by destroying Hamas, who are uncivilized barbarians and deserve to be destroyed. All right. So that's that. We will return to this with Senator Rick Scott and Senator Joni Ernst later in the show. They are both members of the Armed Services Committee. So in case you hadn't guessed, I am in full-throated defense of what Defense Sec Lloyd Austin has been saying today, and I wish his boss, Joe Biden, would say the same thing. Now, we're going to switch gears again. Joining me is Mark Simone, our great friend, WOR Hall of Fame radio host. Joe Concha will be here in a minute. So I see him over the horizon. He's coming through the door, so it won't be long now, and we'll hook him up on the fly. Mark Simone, the other big story, Arizona Supreme Court upholds near total abortion. The court ruled 4-2 today to uphold. This is going back to 1868, if I'm not mistaken. It's incredible. Issued a ruling Tuesday reverting the state back to a 160-year-old pre-statehood law. I don't know why it applies. That outlaws abortions in nearly all circumstances and criminalizes abortions. The law would make it a felony for anyone who provides, supplies, or administers to a pregnant woman or procures such women to take any medicine, drugs, or substance, etc., etc., unless it's absolutely necessary to save her life. But there are no other exclusions here. The law was codified in 1913 after Arizona became a state. Now, we're on the fly on this story as well. We may get a report later or we may not. But the Attorney General of Arizona has said he will not back up this law. But I don't know how you don't back up the law. So let's talk about this, because this is a big site. This is a big story. It's at the top of all the websites around the country. What say you?
This will dominate the news for days because they think it'll hurt Donald Trump.
Yeah.
This issue does not hurt Donald Trump. He's not against abortion. He's actually okay with abortion. He wants that 15-week limit. Mm-hmm. Perfectly reasonable.
Wait. He's didn't say 15 weeks. That's not quoting him. Yesterday, he had a different take. He didn't say 15 weeks. He said, let the states decide.
Well, that
a point I happen to agree with, by the way, wholeheartedly. But I can't pin 15 weeks on him because it's not what he said.
Okay, but that makes him the pro-choice candidate. Leave it up to the states. Let them choose. Let them do what they want. Here's the key fact to everything. Since the Dobbs decision, abortions are up 10% in America. Mm. They had been on the decline for years. Last year, they were up 10%. So obviously...
Well, I'm sorry to hear that.
Well, yeah. I mean, we don't want to see any abortions.
Speaking personally.
But if somebody needs one, if they live in Arizona, it just means they'll have to go to the neighboring state. 154,000 people did that last year. It's not an unreasonable position that Trump has.
Joe Concha, I'm sure you got wind of it on your... on your phone, in the car, wherever you're coming
from.
The
elevator, basically, yeah.
The elevator. We've been switching our topics around, but you two are terrific, and you're up to the task. What's your initial reaction? The Arizona Supreme Court story is, it's number one on all the major media websites right now. What do you think about it?
Well, as it should be, right? Because abortion, even though whenever we see Gallup polling, for example, what's the most important issue to voters? It usually goes economy or immigration, one or two. Crime, number three. Election integrity, 4, trust in government, 5, and abortion somewhere around 8 or 9. However, among Democrats, this will be the number one issue that they will be running on outside of Trump is a demagogue and he's bad and vote for us because we're good people. All of that said, to your point, in the cases where it comes down to the states deciding, that's what the Supreme Court ruled. And Mark makes a very good saying here, a term. Pro-choice. The choice goes back to voters in those situations. So we saw in Kansas, for example, which at last check is quite the deep red state. They held basically what was a referendum on whether abortion should be legal in their state or not. And pretty overwhelmingly, it was voted against in terms of, yes, we want to keep that option. Ohio, a red state, same deal. So Trump's position seems to be one that says, I agree with the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court believes people should decide, not a bunch of people in robes, or it shouldn't be done on the federal level. As far as Arizona is concerned,
yes, this will be dominating the news cycle, at least through the end of the week.
The question, though, this 160-year-old law is now enforceable, the opinion read, and will go into effect in 14 days. Now, I'm assuming everybody in both political parties will say, don't do it, don't do it, we oppose it. This is some relic of the past and an unfortunate relic of the past. I mean, Mr. Trump's position, remember, not only was to make it a state issue, as the Supreme Court did, helped by his own judicial appointees on the court, but also to say to Republicans, you must have the Reagan-esque exclusions, the rape, life incest. Of yeah. rape, incest, and the life of the mother, or the health of the mother. This thing doesn't have those exclusions, but Democratic Arizona Attorney General, somebody named Chris Mays, all right, I'm just flying through this as you are, they're saying this Arizona court is unconscionable and an affront to freedom. So I'm assuming most Republicans will oppose this, but not all. All Democrats will oppose this decision. I mean, this is tricky business. How does this play out?
It hurts Trump for a few days, and then people start to realize this is not the worst thing in the world.
He may come out. He'll come out against us. Oh, no, maybe he won't. Remember, his point was the legislature, Mark. He didn't mention the court. So this is tricky. State Supreme Court, does that qualify as a state decision?
Yeah, that's what it is to be pro-choice. Yeah. The states can decide. If you had to travel to another state to get an abortion, it's not the worst thing in the world. Hopefully, this is a very rare occurrence in your life. Once in your life, maybe it would do it. Buying a bus ticket to go somewhere to get it is not the worst thing in the world.
To your point, by the way, Carrie Lake, for example, disavows Arizona abortion.
Yeah, we invited her on. We just couldn't get her to come. It's all break. But, yes, I'm assuming most Republicans will come out against this.
As they did with a federal ban, right? When Lindsey Graham, I believe, was the one who floated around, no, we should have a federal law that bans all abortions. And politically, that's suicide at this point.
And you'll never get, you'll never get 60 votes for a new federal law in this U.S. Senate.
You wouldn't get 50 votes in this U.S. Senate.
It's not going to happen.
No, it is not. And Trump had said in the past, to Mark's point earlier, that he did favor a 15-week. In other words, beyond the first trimester, when you start talking about abortions, the polling changes drastically.
Yeah.
Right? So people are comfortable with 15 weeks, which is basically one trimester. But then after that, they say, wait a minute. All right, that's where we're uncomfortable with this. So I think he landed in the right spot.
But I do, too, by the way. I'm just saying, not to take off after you, my friend, but that Trump's position has always been negotiating. But now he said, let's just push it back to the states. Because in truth, it doesn't matter. Nothing's going to happen in the U.S. Even if the GOP picks up 3 or 4 seats, you're not going to have 60 votes.
Yeah.
Not gonna, if you, and the Democratic position, okay, is... I mean, Biden says we want to go back to Roe v. Wade. No, he doesn't. He wants to go beyond Roe v. Wade. He wants to go into late-term abortions. He wants to go into places where you can actually abort. You can kill the kid after the kid is born. I mean, that's in the Democratic legislation.
Well, they're just not pro-choice. They'll make the decision. They'll mandate it. They'll tell you what light bulb you're allowed to use, what car you're allowed to drive. They just don't believe in choice when it comes to anything. Even with this, leaving it up to the states is a pretty sensible thing to do.
Yeah, I agree with that.
I think ultimately Trump doesn't want to talk about it after a couple of days. I think in the end he wants to talk about inflation. He wants to talk about food prices and gas prices and the border and crime and foreign policy. This is something that he'd rather say, yep, it's up to the states. I'm out of this.
You know what I don't know? Is this a Democratic or Republican state Supreme Court? It might be very interesting if it were Democratic appointees, because I don't know the answer to that.
Right. They have two Democratic senators and a Democratic governor. So,
well, one, you know, but be ironic, if anything.
Yeah.
You're calling me off, so we got to get out of here. OK, folks, okay. You did a great job. A little bit disjointed. I apologize.
Live TV, baby.
Mark Simone and Joe Concha. Did we get Joe Concha's book in? I just wanted to put it in because it does me good. Really, I guess we're not going to get your book.
It's fine. It's. You got 100 in already. I think you hit your quota.
All right.
Appreciate it.
Coming up, Joe Biden plows on with his illegal student loan cancellations. And if that weren't bad enough, what would happen if the Trump tax cuts were allowed to expire? Whole hog. Steve Moore, Mike Falconer will weigh in on all that next on Kudlow.
from the Fox News Podcasts Network. Subscribe and listen to the Trey Gowdy Podcast. Former federal prosecutor and four-term U.S. congressman from South Carolina brings you a one-of-a-kind podcast. Subscribe and listen now by going to foxnewspodcasts.com.
President Biden is touting the economy as he plows on with his illegal student loan cancellations. Once again, to the breach, our own Edward Lawrence, live at the White House with more of this wonderful stuff. Edward, good afternoon.
Yeah. You know, Larry, the president's talking about his budget today, you know, more spending, including the expanding the child tax credit, as well as offering taxpayer-funded preschool for all four-year-olds in America. The president pitching this spending as he wants to now expand his student loan bailout. He wants to expand those existing rules to cover 30 million Americans, pushing the burden for hundreds of billions in student debt onto the taxpayer. Now, today, the president, at an official event, went farther than spending, and this caught my ear. Listen to this.
My predecessor and his MAGA friends want to, I love the phrase, the language he used, they want to terminate the Affordable Care Act. Terminate. Well, guess what? Killing millions of Americans, taking them off of health care insurance, and stripping others of services like home care. Folks.
And the White House press secretary tried to clarify the statements that the president doesn't actually believe Republicans want to murder Americans. Listen to this.
I think you're taking the most extreme definition or extreme evaluation of what the president said. Here's the reality. The Affordable Care Act, which obviously started in the Obama-Biden administration, the president expanded on that, making sure that people have affordable health care. That saves lives.
Now, the president trying to deflect and remessage the economy to turn poll numbers around. In fact, in the GDP report, it shows government spending is pushing the economy.
What's grown in the economy have been government jobs disproportionately, and maybe some of the industries they've picked as winners. But broadly, I still keep track of it. The economy is not doing as well as they think.
Since last November, full-time jobs in America have actually decreased. Part-time jobs have spiked. In fact, in the last month, up 691,000 jobs. In fact, more people also taking multiple jobs. Larry, back to you.
All right, Edward Lawrence, there you have it. Now, let's go on to Grady Trimble on Biden potentially letting all the Trump tax cuts expire. Grady, what you got?
Hey, Larry, many Americans will be forced to pay between 1 and 4% more in taxes unless the Trump-era tax cuts are extended, revised, or made permanent. That analysis from our friends and colleagues at FoxBusiness.com. If the Trump-era tax cuts expire, individual income tax rates revert to 2017 levels, a.k.a. you're paying more in most cases. The 20% tax deduction for many pass-through businesses disappears, and the standard deduction will be cut roughly in half. Whether the cuts stay or go could largely be dependent on who's in the White House and who controls Congress at the end of 2025. So it has already become a big campaign issue. President Biden, as he has made note many times, wants to tax the wealthy and corporations even more. Former President Trump jabbing at Biden for that. And he says he wants to extend the tax cuts he ushered in and cut them even more.
The last administration enacted a $2 trillion tax cut, overwhelmingly benefiting the very wealthy and the biggest corporations.
In my first term, we built the greatest economy in the history of the world. We had record tax cuts and regulation cuts and rising wages for cities. That's right. Totally rising within all our cities.
So the U.S. Chamber of Commerce is pushing to keep the Trump tax cuts in place. It also says Biden's tax policies would lead to lower economic growth, fewer new businesses starting, and less job creation. You probably already thought that, too, Larry, right?
I did. I've already penciled it in and will continue to pencil it in. Anyway, Grady Trimble, thanks very much. So for more on all this, let's bring in Steve Moore, Committee to Unleash Prosperity and hosted More Money on WABC Radio, and Michael Falconder, former Assistant Treasury Secretary and now Chief Economist at AFPI. On the side, he teaches school at the University of Maryland. There's a lot going on here, Steve Moore. None of it's very good. Student loans will be canceled. Up to 30 million. Somebody told me this thing could wind up costing $500 billion before it's all said and done. And anyway, the whole thing's illegal, but the Bidens don't believe in legality or the Constitution. What are you thinking here?
Well, you know, I was listening to your fascinating conversation just previously about abortion, and we don't want to be talking about abortion, you know, before the election. What we want to be talking about, Larry, is tax cuts and prosperity and small businesses and making sure that we have the best economy possible. So, yes, absolutely, we have to make the Trump tax cuts permanent. And don't forget, one of the most important elements of that, which you worked on, Larry, you and I both were part of this, was making sure that it wasn't just corporations, but also small businesses. Mm. Small businessmen and women got a 20% reduction in their taxes. What was the impact on that? Universally positive. We got a lot of capital back in the United States. We created a lot of jobs. I don't understand why Biden would want to repeal it, something that would work. And with respect to the student loans, come on, Larry, 30 million more people are going to get student loan bailouts. What are they going to do next? They're going to bail out people for their mortgages? We're going to tell people you don't have to pay your credit card debt? Who's going to pay for all this? And by the way, the suckers here are the people who do pay their loans. They're the ones who have to pay for people, the deadbeats who don't.
Yeah, well, get ready. You know, this is Bidenomics in an election year. Mike Falconer, I'm interested in the, you know, the corporate tax provision, not all of it, the expensing will expire. But the 21% corporate tax cut was permanent. In other words, Biden would have to overturn it, Michael, as you well know, because you were there when we instituted this stuff. And he'll never have the votes to do it. But actually, individuals across the board, Grady Trimble's right. As I recall, the individual's code, you know, each bracket had about a 3 percentage point reduction. Plus you had the immediate expensing, plus you had the child care deduction, plus you had the increase in the standard deduction. Now, all that, a lot of that stuff will go to middle-income people. I don't know if Joe Biden and his crowd know that, but a lot of that stuff was aimed at middle-income people and would be depriving middle-income people of valuable tax savings.
That's right, Larry, because what the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act did is it actually made the code more progressive. If you look at the most recent tax data that we have, the highest income people, the top 1%, made about 22% of the income and yet paid 42% of the personal income tax. Because at the end of the day, lower rates mean people actually report all of the income that they generated. And as you said, the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act increased the standard deduction so that people could have simple taxes. It lowered the rates. It lowered all of the rate brackets, not just the one at the top. And if we were to allow that thing to expire, yes, it would very much depress wages. Because remember what we saw during the 2017 to 2019 time period. Median household income went up $6,000. What has it done under the Biden administration? It's gone down more than $2,000. It's a very clear choice for the American people.
You know, Steve Moore, just on the loan cancellation for a minute, okay? It's sexier. We love to talk about supply-side economics. The whole thing, all these loans, should be removed from the Department of Education. DOE should not be able to make any loans or cancel any loans because there isn't a single person in that department, in those horrible-looking walls, post-war walls. They've never made a loan. They have no credit analysis. They have no expertise in that stuff. This should all be pushed back into the private sector. Private lenders know about credit analysis for the student or the parents and so forth and so on. And you should put this stuff, it's 1.7 trillion loans, should go into the Federal Financing Bank, which is run by the Treasury Department. Falconer, nod your heads because you know I'm right. And the FFB will figure out a way to work out these loans. Otherwise, Uncle Sam's going to realize tremendous losses. Losses on the principal and losses on the interest, even more. In other words, what I'm saying is there's a way out of this mess, but it is totally not what Biden is doing. He just wants to make it much worse and dig the taxpayer in deeper and deeper and lose a fortune on this where we don't have to lose a fortune.
Yeah, I think if it was Obama administration, you two may remember
no,
that basically converted it into the government running the program. Boy, they've done a wonderful job of it, haven't they? When we got 30 million people not repaying their loans. And look, Americans aren't stupid. These young people aren't stupid. They realize if they just don't pay it and you get a Biden come along, they will forgive this loan, these loans. By the way, can you imagine if they do this? Do you think it'll be the death of the student loan program? Mm-hmm. Who in the world would ever in their right mind pay back a student loan? It's like amnesty, you know, for immigrants. You give them amnesty and then people will keep coming in. And by the way, Larry, you have to have my wife, Ann, on the show to talk about student loans, because she's like a perfect example of someone graduated from UCLA, didn't have a lot of money, had a pretty, you know, low income starter job. And she meticulously every month took money aside from her paycheck. Mm. And she paid back the student loan. And it was a real sacrifice. And now she's so angry. She feels like she's a fool for having done that. And so the people are really being, you know, victimized by this are the people who acted virtuously and did what they're supposed to do, which is you take out a loan, you repay it.
Well, Mike Falkinder, that's the other thing. This is just election vote buying. I mean, that's the intention. Election vote buying. We all know this. I mean, it's just the only thing transparent in the Biden administration is they want to have buy votes. But the thing is, it's not going to pay off because of the Ann Moores of the world. And then there's this. Look, most people didn't go to college and most people didn't go to graduate school. They're the ones who don't have these advanced degrees, don't want them, probably don't need them anymore. They're the ones who are going to finance the so-called elites, and they're going to be very angry. And this thing's going to backfire on Joe Biden politically, Mike Falkinder. That's the stupidity of this. They can't even get the election incentives right, this crowd.
So, Larry, in fear of making you and Steve both more upset, let me first start by saying that it was the Obama administration that nationalized the student loan market to pay for Obamacare.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, so
they,
right.
They committed
that's
the fraud
right.
of
that's
saying
right.
that it was
that's
a right. revenue generator.
Yes.
Right? And then they put it over the Department of Education.
Yes.
It's about the sixth largest bank in the nation, and yet they don't have a single banker over there.
Yes.
They don't match when they have a bunch of them in the income-driven repayment program, and yet they don't check the IRS tax file to see how much money these people are actually making, because it's not being done by Treasury. It's being done by the Department of Education. And one other thing, Larry, is there is no reform of tuition or college education associated with this. Penn Wharton estimates this will actually cost $1 trillion once you incorporate how student borrowers and universities will respond to this forgiveness.
If you cancel the loans and everybody gets a freebie, then what happens? The universities just jack up tuition again, and we go through the whole thing, and there isn't one humanoid in the Department of Education that has ever made a loan or done a credit analysis. That's why it has to be removed from the Department of Education.
And on top of that, Larry, one quick point.
I got to get out.
The university should be on tap for some of this stuff.
Yeah, they should. And they're going to get theirs sooner or later also with the populist administration coming. Mike Falkinder, very good. Steve Moore, very good. Thanks to both of you. All right, folks, coming up, as I said in my riff, Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin is out there defending Israel, saying they are not committing genocide. It's what Joe Biden ought to be saying. So why is he handcuffing Israel instead, all right? Why is he betraying Israel? That's what I want to know. We've got Senators Joni Ernst and Rick Scott. They're going to weigh in on that and a couple other things as well. We're going to revisit this whole abortion decision out in Arizona. I'm Kudlow. You know, obey the law. Stop canceling student loans, for heaven's sakes. All right, welcome back, everybody. Joining us now is our great friend, Iowa Senator Joni Ernst. Senator Ernst, welcome. There's two things I want to tackle. One is the Arizona abortion decision. Just want to get your quick take on that. And the second one, you were in the Armed Services Committee today when Lloyd Austin defended Israel. I believe you are in Armed Services. Tell me if I'm wrong, because then I'll...
Yep.
All right, you were there, because I've been defending Austin, believe it or not. When somebody gets it right, they deserve to get it right. But, Senator Ernst, first on the Arizona Supreme Court, it upholds near total abortion. It allows, I think, for the health of the mother, but that's all. This was a law that was codified in 1913, and it was first enacted in 1864. A lot of people are running away from it. What do you make of it, ma'am?
Well, hey, Larry, I am a mom, I am a brand new grandma, and I support life. And Senate Republicans, the GOP, and President Trump really worked hard to overturn Roe v. Wade. So we returned that back to the states. That is the law of the land with that Supreme Court decision. So the states are handling that. But again, we worked very hard to get this result. Now the states will take that up. As it comes to, you point out, Lloyd Austin and his statements this morning at the Senate Armed Services Committee, he is right on. There is absolutely no evidence of Israel committing genocide against the Palestinians in the Gaza Strip. So kudos to Secretary Austin for actually stating the truth of the matter.
Let me, Senator, let me just play a little sound from that hearing. From Mr. Austin. Here it comes.
Yep.
Is Israel committing genocide in Gaza?
Senator Cotton, we don't have any evidence of genocide being created.
So that's a no. Israel's not committing genocide in Gaza.
We don't have evidence of that.
You know, Senator Ernst, again, kudos to Mr. Austin. I agree with you. I'm glad to hear you say it. I'm going to say it. Mm-hmm. You do good. I don't care what your political stripe is. I'm just waiting. Why does the Senate? I want President Biden to back up his defense secretary, because they've been chipping away. They've been betraying Israel. They've been pushing Israel back. They've been blaming Israel for casualties and civilians. Basically, they've been blaming Israel for genocide when it's completely untrue.
Yeah, exactly. So, of course, after October 7th, President Biden and the administration came out very strong supporting Israel. But from a week out from then and ever since, we've seen Biden and his administration basically backtrack everything they have said. I am telling you, we need to support Israel. If they do not get rid of Hamas, we will see this again and again. So let's talk about the innocent civilians that were lost on that day, including Americans at the hands of Hamas. President Biden, you need to stick up for Israel.
Yeah, you need to stick up for your defense secretary, and you need to stick up for Israel. Austin is telling the truth. According to Tom Cotton, your colleague, our friend, Cotton said he asked the heads of the spy agencies, and they wouldn't make a statement about genocide. So Austin is the first guy to make a statement. You may have been in those intel briefings as well, ma'am. But I'm just saying that's terrific stuff. Now, why don't we just let Israel be Israel and the IDF be the IDF and go on ahead and finish the job in South Gaza and Rafah? Let's just let them do it.
Right, exactly. And so we would never be okay with another country coming into the United States and saying, hey, I know it's only a week since 9/11, or hey, it's been 6 months since 9/11. You need to back off of those terrorists. We would never allow that to happen. It would never be acceptable, Larry. It shouldn't be acceptable to the Israelis to have the American president try and dictate to them how they will run this war. So we need to stay strong. I'm tired as well. Tom Cotton was spot on, but I am tired as well of this administration and their appointed officials doing this fancy tap dance to avoid our very direct questions. It needs to end. We need to stand up for our friends and allies. And enough of this, you know, baloney. Let's put it like that.
It is
coming
baloney
out of this administration.
No, it's Biden malarkey. It's baloney. You're exactly right, ma'am. I've just got 30 seconds left. But look, on this other point, do you think, seriously, Biden will withhold arms, weapons, ammunition from Israel? Do you think he'll withhold it if Israel goes back into South Gaza and Rafah?
Well, hey, what I can say is the majority of Americans would be absolutely appalled if the Biden administration would do that. And he will be dang sorry when the election rolls around.
Mm. I think still, maybe I'm wrong, the majority of Americans want to defend Israel. They are a democracy.
Yes.
They're our ally. You know, this.
Yes.
That's why I just coming back to this, I got a little bit more. I mean, that's why I think what Austin said today was so important. And heck, yes. I'm happy to endorse a Biden cabinet guy if he's saying the right thing. And I bet you you are,
yes,
too. I mean, that's not the issue. The issue is good versus evil. Israel is on the side of good, and we got to back Israel. And finally, somebody in the Biden crowd backed Israel.
Yes, Larry. Amen to that. Let's back Israel. Thank you, Secretary Austin, for speaking truth.
All right. Senator Joni Ernst, thank you for coming back on the show, ma'am. We appreciate it, as always.
Thanks,
you
bet.
All right, folks, coming up, everyone's still beating up on Israel. We're going to talk to Florida Senator Rick Scott, who just came back from Israel and met with Netanyahu. And maybe we can get a sense. Mr. Netanyahu is now saying, as you know, folks, that he has set a date to go back into Rafah and southern Gaza and finish the job and take Hamas completely out of play. Maybe Mr. Scott, Senator Scott, can give us a heads up on that story. I'm Kudlow. Look, Lloyd Austin got it right today, and I'm going to back him for it. We'll be right back. All right, so let Israel be Israel. Let the IDF be the IDF. Joining us now is Florida Senator Rick Scott. Just got back from Israel and a meeting with Prime Minister Netanyahu. Senator Scott, welcome, sir. You were in the Armed Services Committee today with Joni Ernst and others, Tom Cotton. And I just want a quick comment because it sounds very much like Lloyd Austin, Secretary of Defense, really did a good thing and defended Israel against all these charges of genocide.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. But let's look at this. Number one, I ask him, is the Biden administration going to hold Qatar accountable? I mean, look, all the hostages would come home. All the hostages would be released. This would be over if Qatar did its job. We got a military base in Qatar. We got Hamas leadership in Qatar. I mean, Qatar could do this today. What are they doing? That's number one. Number two is, Secretary Austin wouldn't answer the question. Why is the Biden administration going after Israel, all right, for how they should run the war when we have a president, Biden's never won a war? And on top of that, when he was president, he had the botched withdrawals from Afghanistan, and he killed, through a drone attack, an innocent Afghan family, and no accountability, no investigation, nobody got fired. In contrast, he attacks Israel for making a mistake. Israel actually did they did an investigation, and somebody got held accountable for it. But this president, who has never, ever won a war, is trying to tell the IDF and the prime minister how to eliminate Hamas. They have to be eliminated. They don't have a choice. They have to go in Rafah. They have to destroy Hamas. This president needs to shut his mouth and let them, give them the space and give them the weapons they need to go destroy Hamas.
So I agree with that, Senator Scott, 100%. Look, you were over there. You talked to Bibi Netanyahu and so forth. I'm just somewhat confused because the prime minister, who is a good friend, for heaven's sakes, and I'm a huge supporter, he said, I have a date to go back into Rafah. But at the same time, publicly, the discussion is they're going to hold off. He pulled out most of his brigades and they're looking for a ceasefire with some kind of hostage swap. So is he going in or is he pulling out, Senator Scott?
I believe what they're doing is they're positioning themselves to destroy Hamas. And if you look at, I was just over there. I was met with IDF. I met with the War Cabinet. I mean, they are very focused on how to destroy Hamas. Now, Hamas is not just staying in Rafah. They're coming up. That's why they killed a lot of Hamas at the Sheba Hospital recently. They're still all on board to get rid of Hamas. Everyone I talk to there is on board. They're going to destroy Hamas. The American government needs to shut its mouth and let them go do their job.
Do you think, I asked Senator Ernst this, you think that Biden's have threatened to withhold ammunition and weaponry and God knows what, if Israel, makes the final plunge, do you think they'd actually do it? The Bidens would actually stop arming Israel, our old ally?
I will fight like hell to make sure that doesn't happen. It's a democracy. It's the only democracy in the Middle East. It's one of our best allies. Their existence is threatened, what Hamas did. Think about this. If, let's say, 30,000 people came across our southern border and a bunch of people come across our southern border and killed 30,000 Americans, would we stop before they were destroyed? No, we wouldn't stop. So we need to let Israel do it. They're going to destroy them. And what we ought to be doing is supporting our allies. We should support allies. And if somebody attacks us, I mean, they should support us. Senator, this is pretty simple to me.
Well, I agree. It's so simple, I wanted to move on to just something else briefly. The Arizona Supreme Court upholds a near-total abortion ban. Do you have a thought on that?
Well, look, this is, what's going to happen as a result of the overturn of Roe versus Wade, and as you know, I'm pro-life, is that we're going to decide this at the state level. State by state's going to figure this out. I'm sure Arizona will figure this out. In Florida, we've got a constitutional amendment. That's going to help us figure out where we are on. So this is exactly what ought to be happening. It ought to be going through a legislative process to come up with a way to make sure we have reasonable limitations, but we protect babies.
All right. Another subject in our last 90 seconds, sir. Do you think the U.S. government will ever stop giving Iran money that was originally frozen? Do you think we'd ever stop doing that? I think we've done about $16 billion worth now.
I think it's going to stop. Yeah, next January 20th, it's going to stop. No. The day Donald Trump is sworn in, it's going to stop. Until then, I don't know, the Biden administration, I mean, they're into appeasement. They appease the Xi, they appease Putin, they appease the Ayatollah. I don't get it. They appease the dictators in Latin America. I don't get it. But, no, look, all the money that we've given in Iran, what they're used for? It's used to help the Houthis, Hezbollah, Hamas. Kill Americans. By the way, we still have 5 American citizens alive, and we have American bodies in Gaza. Why isn't this president talking about this every second?
Yes, sir. No, he never wants to talk about it, and you're absolutely 100% right. In fact, the whole hostage negotiations seem to have gotten off track. I don't understand it. It's like blame Israel. All I hear is blaming Israel. And, you know, your point about Iran giving Iran money, we're running out of time. I'm sorry, Senator Scott. But the fact of the matter is the negotiations with Iran and the unburdening of the sanctions with Iran, right, that helped to create this Hamas-Israel war in the first place. It was a complete disaster.
Absolutely.
I got to get out, Rick, Senator Scott.
Bye-bye.
I'm sorry. I got to get out. Thanks for helping us today. We appreciate it.
Bye-bye.
Folks, be right back with my last word. All right, kudos to SecDef Austin for defending Israel against these false, phony genocide charges. Kudos to Austin. And kudos to David Asman, who's going to take the ball and run with it right
from the Fox News Podcasts Network. In these ever-changing times, you can rely on Fox News for hourly updates for the very latest news and information on your time. Listen and download now at foxnewspodcast.com or wherever you get your favorite podcasts.